Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Thursday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers and first responders out there, getting the people the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there, getting the people from home to work or getting the kiddos from home to school. I appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front loading and rear loading truck drivers out there riding around and getting it. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment early this morning for the early risers. And of course, shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. The Atlanta Braves, they avoid a sweep yesterday, had a little bit of day baseball. The business, what do they call it? The gentleman's business thing, or I forget exactly how they phrase it. Anywho,
I think it's the gentleman's special.
Gentleman's special, something like that. Anyway, they played baseball earlier in the day. They didn't play it at night. That's what we're going with here. They had a 3:40 Eastern time start yesterday, and they got the dub over the Seattle Mariners 5-2. And again, they avoid the sweep. Get off their little two-game schneid that they were on. First time the Braves had lost back-to-back games in the season, in the entire season thus far, the young season. So it was good to see them not let that linger on any farther and get themselves win before they head to L.A., which I'm sure they will be leaving for today if they didn't leave already last night. They take on the Dodgers. Businessman special. Thank you, Day-Day. So that's what it was. They had the businessman special yesterday, taking on the Mariners. Again, early, 3:40 our time, 12:40 West Coast time, Pacific time, if you rather me call it that. But anywho, they got the win. Chris Sale was good yet again. Went 5 strong innings, struck out a season-high 9 batters. So he had it cooking. All the pitches cooking yesterday for Chris Sale. Only gave up the 1 earned run and six hits scattered throughout the ballgame as well. And that was it. And he got the W. He is 4-1 on the season now. He continues to look good and really look like, again, we don't need 100% of the Chris Sale that was that dominant Chris Sale before the injuries kind of took something away from him, for lack of a better phrase. But if we get 75% of Chris, prime Chris Sale, 75-80% of prime Chris Sale, then we're going to be straight. And I think we're getting that, honestly, right about now. Maybe even a little bit more. Maybe we're around 85%. But prime Chris Sale is, there's still a good bit of prime Chris Sale in there, and he's showing it thus far this season. And over his, I believe, last three outings, yes, is he won his third straight decision yesterday and has a 2.36 ERA over his last three starts. So, again, he is cooking. He's doing his thing, and it's good to see, again, this Braves pitching staff really lock in. Obviously, Max Fried is on a 15 2/3 scoreless inning streak. He hasn't given up a run in 15 2/3 innings. Chris Sale, just told you, he has a 2.36 ERA over his last three starts and won his last three decisions. And, of course, Bryce Elder has looked good since he's been up. Charlie Morton has been solid as well. So, look, the Braves pitching staff, the offense kind of carried the Braves early as the Braves pitching staff had to adjust, obviously, to Spencer Strider being out. Had a couple of guys in Alan Winans and Darius Vines get in there and have to eat some innings, again, for lack of a better phrase. But it seems like now, hopefully, the Braves rotation is settling in and hopefully the offense can get out of this slump sooner rather than later and we can start to see the Braves pitching and the Braves offense get going at the same time. And once that happens, it's going to be over with for the league. We already 20-9 now with what the Braves have had to go through as far as some injuries, obviously the big injury to Spencer Strider, still waiting on Sean Murphy to get back. But the Braves still, how good they are, 20-9, and hopefully they can just continue to get better and better. And as far as the hits in the offense went looked last night, pretty good. They really capitalized on Seattle's errors. Seattle had two errors last night, one of them being really costly. So it was in the fourth inning, and we saw Emerson Hancock. He was the starter for the Mariners last night. He had gotten two outs already in the top of the fourth inning. Right fielder Mitch Hanger, he dropped Orlando Arcia's pop-up down the right field line. Again, there were already two outs that would have ended the inning, but he dropped it. And after that, Ronald Acuña Jr., Ozzie Albies get back-to-back singles. That scores a run. Hanger also couldn't come up with Austin Riley's deep drive. That ended up being a two-run triple, and that ended up giving the Braves a 4-0 lead. Oh, and then Matt Olson capped off the inning with a sharp single off of then-reliever Trent Thornton, who came in relief of Emerson Hancock, and that gave the Braves the fourth run of the inning. So, Braves win it 5-2. Offense, again, coming up clutch, taking advantage of opportunities, and we love to see that as well. So, again, Braves offense isn't necessarily exploding like we expected here early on in the season. In this three-game stretch against the Mariners, they have struggled a little bit. But you still see Ronald Acuña Jr. getting hits. He was 2-for-5 last night. Yesterday, I guess I should say, with an RBI. Ozzie Albies went 1-for-4. Austin Riley, like I said, 2-for-4, had that two RBI triple. Matt Olson went 1-for-3 with an RBI. Marcelo Zuna, even though he didn't have a hit, he did get an RBI. He had a bases loaded walk, so we love to see that. That's all good. So, top of the Braves order, getting it done a little bit. And look, it was enough to get the job done. Five is all they needed. Really, three was all they needed with Chris Sale on the mound yesterday. Now, there was a little bit of trouble at the end of the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. So the Mariners did have the tying run up at the plate. Rosell Iglesias was on the mound, but he did what he had to do at the end of the day. What happened was he walked Luke Raley, gave a single to Julio Rodriguez, but then he got pop-ups from Mitch Hanger, Jorge Polanco, and then a ground out from Cale Raleigh, and that finished out the game, and that earned, and he earned himself his eighth save of the year. So, Braves, like I said, did what they had to do against Emerson Hancock, got him out of there in just 3 2/3 innings, and built themselves up a lead. Bullpen did their job. Rossell Iglesias got the save, and it was all good. So now they take on the L.A. Dodgers for a three-game set. And look, this is going to be a good measuring stick test, obviously, for the Braves. You're taking on Shohei. You're taking on, obviously, Freddie Freeman. You're taking on Mookie Betts, who has been absolutely unbelievable thus far. He's definitely going for MVP this year. He has been outright. He's been like a madman, honestly. It's the best way to describe it. Like, he has just been on fire since the first pitch of the season was thrown, honestly. So, Braves will take on the Dodgers for three. That series is going to get started tomorrow. First pitch is going to be at 10 p.m. Luckily, that's a weekend series, so all of us early risers can actually stay up and watch the game and not have to worry about getting up early. Shout out to all my weekend warriors out there, though. You might need to call it if you got to get up early this weekend. But anywho, first pitch of game one going to be tomorrow, Friday, 10 p.m., and is going to be Charlie Morton against Gavin Stone. Charlie Morton, again, has been solid. He's been good old Charlie so far this season. 2-0 on the year, 3.60 ERA in 30 innings. Gavin Stone, he's been solid too. 2-1 on the year, 4.68 ERA, has a 1.44 whip and 25 innings pitch so far for Gavin. Game two, I'll go ahead and let you know who the starters are going to be. It's going to be Bryce Elder versus Tyler Glasnow. Glasnow has been really good this season for the Dodgers. 2.72 ERA, 5-1 record, and 43 innings pitched. Obviously, Bryce Elder has only made the 1-2 starts so far, but he's looked good thus far since he's been up with the big league club. So that'll be game two. And then game three, it'll be another good showdown. Mad Max, Max Fried, who has been absolutely electric thus far. He'll get to test out his, again, 15 2/3 innings, scoreless inning streak against a potent, to say the least, Dodgers lineup. He's 2-0 on the year, 4.02 ERA, but again, he hasn't given up a run again in 15 2/3 innings, so he's gotten that ERA down a lot since his first two starts where he really struggled. And then he'll be going up against Mr. James Paxton, 3-0 on the year, 3.51 ERA, 1.68 whip, and 25 2/3 innings pitched. So there you have it. If you want to know how Mookie Betts, we talked about him momentarily. He has been, again, just absolutely on a tear. He's batting .377 right now, 41 on base percentage, 623 slugging, 25 RBIs and 6 home runs. Shohei is batting .336 with 7 home runs and 19 RBIs. So, again, the Dodgers have been the Dodgers. They're 20-13. Again, they played obviously more games than the Braves. They started their season earlier because they started their season. They were in Korea, I believe it was, to start the season against the Padres, if you remember that. And then, obviously, the Braves have had some games postponed to be played at a later date. So, A lot of these MLB teams out here have played more games than the Braves, but just as many wins, obviously more losses because, again, they played more games. But Braves and Dodgers, that should be a good matchup as always. Then after that, they'll have a quickie with the Red Sox at home. They'll play two against the Red Sox and then three against the New York Mets in New York on the road. One of those will be on Sunday Night Baseball, by the way. So that should be good. So the Braves they're going to have a solid schedule, some solid tests coming up again. The Mets, we should beat up on them. But they are .500. I will give them that. The Red Sox, so far, solid, 18-13. Obviously, I just told you the Dodgers are 20-13. And then you got the Cubs, who are 19-12 right now. So you're going up against, what's that, four teams who are .500 or better at the moment. The Mets right now, again, are right at .500. So that could change by the time we play them. They could be over or under .500. So we'll see. And then the Red Sox, like I said, are above .500 as well. So three out of the four teams you're about to play over .500. So the Braves are going to have a little bit of a tough stretch here. Again, They're the Braves, so they should win. And I got them favored to win all these series, but it'll be good to see them take on really some formidable opponents for four consecutive series. And it'll be interesting to see how they respond with that. And again, it'll continue to reassure us about just how good the Braves are, because we know they're good, but it's always good to see the Braves beat up on people, but it's even better to see the Braves beat up on some really good competition. You know what I mean? So we'll get to see that over really the next couple weeks. So we'll see how the Braves fare, but they take on the Dodgers starting tomorrow, and that will be a very fun series. And look, hopefully this offense can wake up a little bit. Hopefully Ronnie can find a little bit more power. Ozzie can continue to get back hot after having to miss a few games after the injury. Hopefully Marcel can heat back up a little bit. He's cooled off. I wouldn't say at all he's in a slump. Austin Riley seems like he's starting to come along as well, too. And Matt Olson, we definitely got to get Matty O going. I mean, he's been okay. He had the RBI and the hit last night, but we need Matt Olson to get going as well. So hopefully all that can happen against the Dodgers. And again, over these next couple weeks against some good quality opponents. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take, 5 minutes from now, we will continue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, continue to break down the Falcons draft picks pretty much one by one, a little kind of in pairs too. So when we come back, we'll talk about J.D. Bertrand, and Brandon Dorlus. How do the Falcons fourth and fifth round picks fit into the Falcons equation this season? We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers working around the clock, long 12-hour shifts. You may just be starting. You may just be getting going, but I appreciate you getting the people the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers out there as well, serving up the good nourishment for the early risers like us this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there getting the people from home to work, getting the kiddos from home to school. Appreciate you tapping in with me. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers out there like my guy Larry. Shout out to Larry one time for the one time. And, of course, shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, the Atlanta Falcons, the draft. People still talking about it. It's still a little buzz to it, but we're starting to come down off the high that is the NFL draft a little bit. And I do want to continue to really break down each draft pick, take a day to maybe break down a couple of picks, and that's what we're going to do here right now. So how does J.D. Bertrand, the Falcons' fourth-round pick, and Brandon Dorlus, the Falcons' fifth-round pick, I actually might have that flipped, I'll double-check. But anywho, how do those picks for the Falcons, how are they going to be incorporated into the plans for the Falcons this year? How are they going to play a role on this squad this year? Well, I think for JD, the linebacker out of Notre Dame, JD Bertrand, he is going to obviously be some depth at the linebacker position. I don't know how much of the field he's actually going to see. Now, again, with the Falcons going to run a 3-4, you're obviously going to have four linebackers. We know three already. Nate Landman, Caden Ellis, and why am I blanking on Troy Anderson? So we know those three. JD maybe can compete for that fourth one, but I don't think he's going to end up being that guy. I wonder if they – now, I believe they're probably going to have Braylon Trice out there on the edge, like on the defensive line, either standing up or handing the dirt as the outside guy, that third guy in a 3-4. I don't think he'll play at that outside linebacker spot. He may. I don't think so, though. I think they'll just have a different guy at that fourth linebacker spot. Now, again, if JD comes in and plays well, who's to say that he can't be that fourth linebacker to go along with, again, Nate Landman, Troy Anderson, and Caden Ellis? But I think, if anything, he's going to be a depth piece, at least for this year. You know, obviously for the future, I think the Falcons in the future see him as hopefully a starter and a key component to this Falcons defense. But early on, and as far as this year goes and what role he's going to play this year, I think it's going to be him, just being a backup. Special teams, obviously. Special teams, special plays, special players. Shout out to my guy Sketch. Anywho, for Brandon Dorlus, though, I think he will be a little bit more involved in what the Falcons are going to do this year. As a defensive lineman, as a versatile defensive lineman that he is, I definitely think he's going to be more heavily involved on this team, because he can play that, he can be that nose tackle going head to head up against the center, or he can kind of be off center a little bit and kind of be that defensive tackle off ball a little bit, or he could even slide out and be that three technique on the outside of the defensive line. So he's kind of like a Grady Jarrett in the sense too. He's kind of like a tweener. A lot like Aroro as well. So they really got some guys, the Falcons did, who can be versatile in what they can do. because Rook, he could probably be on the outside as well. Now, he's definitely a little bit more of a defensive tackle, but he could play a little bit on the outside. But Brandon Dorlus, for sure, could be either inside or outside. And look, if you have some injuries early on in the year, knock on whatever this table is made out of, hopefully you don't have that. But if you do, he can be a guy who can fill in that role and be that guy that could either, again, be a defensive tackle if you need him to be a defensive tackle, be a defensive end in a 3-4 if you need him to be a defensive end in a 3-4. So that versatility will help Brandon, again, see the field a lot sooner, I think, than maybe a guy like JD, at least on defense. Again, I think JD will be definitely a player on special teams. I think he'll be definitely a guy that contributes from the get-go on special teams. And by the way, I did have a flip. Brandon Dorlus was the fourth-round pick, and J.D. Bertrand was the Falcons' fifth-round pick. So excuse me for that. But anywho, I do think both of these guys will contribute in some way, shape, or form right off the bat. Again, I think for Brandon, he's going to be, especially because, I'm not positive, and we haven't really got a update on it, and I don't expect necessarily an update anytime soon, but I'm not 1,000% sure Grady Jarrett's going to be ready week one. So especially if Grady isn't ready week one, Brandon definitely is probably going to be a part of that defensive line rotation in some way, shape, or form, because you figure if Grady's out, the guys who start and get the most snaps, because as far as starting goes, that doesn't necessarily matter as much as snap percentage, who gets the lion's share of the snaps. The guys who probably get the lion's share of the snaps at this point who are on the roster, David Onyemata, Kentavious Street, Arnold Ebiketie, maybe a Taquan Graham. Now, again, I don't know if Taquan Graham starts because it's a 3-4, but he'll be in that mix. And then, obviously, Braylon Trice, I think, will be in there, too, as a third-round pick. He'll be in that rotation. He'll get a good percentage of snaps, but we'll see Brandon Dorlus in there as well. Like, he'll definitely be a part of that. Rook will be in there as well as he'll definitely be in there, a part of the mix as the Falcons' second-round pick, and they trade up to go get him. So I definitely think he'll be, I don't know if he'll be starting, but he'll definitely be getting a solid amount of the snaps at least. So I as far as how the defensive line is going to shape out and what the depth looks like, I think Brandon is going to, again, especially if Grady isn't ready week one, I think he's going to be a guy that gets a solid amount of the snaps, maybe at least until Grady comes back, and then maybe obviously he'll lose some time with that, but we'll see how he's playing. If he's playing well enough, then Jimmy Lake, they'll find some time for him, and they'll make sure they get him some snaps in some way, shape, or form. And then same goes for JD. You know, obviously if there's any injuries, I think he might end up being that first guy to kind of step in and be in that role to fill in for either a Troy Anderson, a Nate Landman, or a Caden Ellis. So, look, these guys are going to play a role. With how much the Falcons invested on this defense, on this offense, these defensive draft picks are going to play a role, and they're going to play some big roles early. Because, again, they signed Kentavious Street. They got Kevin King. They got another corner, but as far as like defensive line transaction goes, defensive line signings, linebacker signings, Falcons didn't do a whole lot of that this offseason. And again, there's still time to do so. But as of right now, it's looking like, again, both of these guys are going to be playing a solid bit when the season gets underway. Now, again, a lot of things can change, rearrange from now until September. But as it looks right now, these guys are going to be playing key roles. So we will see how all that shapes out. But when you talk about as far as the sixth-round picks go, while we have a couple minutes, we'll just touch on them and preview that a little bit. I think Jason McClellan ends up being a big part of this offense too. Casey Washington, I think we'll see him a bit. I think we'll see him a little bit, especially with the wide receiver room still being, I don't want to say thin, but I think there's some opportunity for Casey Washington to definitely make some hay in the wide receiver room. Again, Raven McLeod will be a part of what the Falcons do offensively. Rondale Moore will be a part of what the Falcons do offensively. But I do think there's if Casey Washington plays well enough, I do think there's some option for him to get in there and possibly be able to make some plays and take some spot and maybe take rain on one of those wide receiver spots. So we'll see. But Jace McClellan, I definitely think he is the guy that could surprise a lot of us. And look, maybe it won't come as a surprise to you because we've all, being in Alabama, seen Jace McClellan work up close and personally. I'm sure we've all watched him a good bit this past season at Alabama, coming out as Alabama's leading rusher last season. So I think he'll definitely be the guy that could really, really surprise some folks. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's going to be the most valuable rookie on the team. I'm not ready to say all that yet, because especially with Bijan and Tyler Algier being in front of him. But he could be a guy that is more involved in this offense than maybe we think as of right now. And look, again, God forbid any injuries, knock on whatever this table is made out of. But if there's any injuries to either one of Tyler Algier or Bijan Robinson, I think Jace McClellan is going to be that dude to kind of step up and step in. So then they'll probably, if that happened, they'll probably make a move too. But still, he would be, in my book, right now, he'd be that next man up. So we'll see. And as far as Zion Loge goes, he'll be a piece, but I think he'll end up probably finding more reps on the practice squad. And again, a 6th-round pick, you're not expecting too much out of him, and a late 6th-round pick at that. So we'll see what happens. But I will say this. I am very excited for this Falcons draft class and see what they do. I'm very excited for Braylon Trice. You hear a lot of analysts say that the Falcons really got a lot of value out of Braylon Trice, getting him in the 3rd round. A lot of guys thought, I mean, we even heard it was, who was it? It was Brock Horde. He was saying that Braylon Trice, and again, the former Washington, we played this out here, former Washington quarterback, and now he's a college football analyst for Fox. He said it. He had first-round talent. If he's just a little bit bigger, a little bit faster, a little bit more athletic, he's first-round talent. And the Falcons got him in the 3rd round. So you got good value out of him. We'll see what happens. Some people are saying that Aurora might have been a little bit of a reach. Again, I didn't necessarily think that they had to trade up to get Aurora. But look, the Falcons seem like they saw something in him that maybe other scouts, other talking heads, pundits, national media, local media didn't see in him. So we'll see what all goes on with Aurora, but I'm very excited about what I'm excited about Brandon Dorlus too. I think the Falcons got a lot of value out of him, especially the versatility that he's going to bring to this squad. So, and obviously Jace McClellan too. Again, you got a running back. The Falcons, one thing about the Falcons, they've been good about picking late round running backs as of late. We got to remember, Terry Fontenot is the one that picked Tyler Algier. We know how good he is. And I think, again, more times than not, Alabama running backs work out too. So you got to be excited about him. I know there's the everybody's like, but what about Trent Richardson? We won't talk about him. We don't have to talk about Trent. Anywho, I'm feeling very good about this Falcons 2024 draft class. You can always let me know how you're feeling. Follow me on all social media platforms @_DylanMatthews. All right, when we come back, the Celtics did not play with their food last night. They're moving on to the 2nd round. We'll recap last night's action in the NBA playoffs. And somebody made a statement in that Clippers-Mavericks series. We'll talk about that as well. 5 minutes from now here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Thursday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Feet lined up. Yeah. Get y'all mushed, smushed. Yeah. 21. The biggest. Put it in the chicken wing.
21. Can you do something for me?
21.
Can you hit a little rich flex for me?
21.
And 21, can you do something for me?
21.
Drop some bars to my ex for me. And 21,
21,
can you do something for
Sports
me?
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I'll do something for you. I'll talk about these NBA playoffs. And I will do my thing, Drizzy. I need you to do your thing, too. Because Kendrick got a good look in, I'm not going to lie. If y'all keeping up with the Drake and Kendrick beef, Kendrick did respond on a random Tuesday. This past Tuesday, and look, I'm not gonna lie, as a big Drake fan, it was good. It was good. I can't lie. Now, look, I think some people have gone a little bit overboard in talking about how good it was. It was good. It's nothing Drake can't come back from, but he does have to come correct. I will say that.
Drake got punched in the neck, bro.
He got punched in the neck? Is that. Look, did Kendrick get. If this was a good boxing match, did Kendrick get a good lick in? He sure did. Did he maybe even get Drake, you know, stumbling and fumbling around a little bit? Yeah, he did. You may even go as far to say he may have knocked him down. But Drake can easily get back up. The fight is not over.
It's not over.
But he has to come correct. I will say that. And that is me being very objective and very as unbiased as I can be as a Drake fan. So.
He's wild. He's wobbling. Yeah,
man.
He wobbled.
He got a shiner right now. Like his lip cut open. He got a shiner. He ain't looking good, but he can keep fighting though. He can keep fighting. But it was good. It was good. And the more and more I see about it, it's like, okay, yes, Kendrick came correct. He came correct. All right, that's enough. I'm sure of all you want to. All these people out here, man, we don't care nothing about that beef, man. All right, shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers, early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well, the first responders, hospital workers, food, late night, early morning food industry workers, front and rear loading truck drivers, and all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, the NBA playoffs continue, and we had a game last night that resulted in the Boston Celtics moving on to the second round. And we also saw a team make a statement and give themselves a nice 3-2 lead. I won't say commanding, but a big 3-2 lead. And they made a statement in that game as well. I'm talking about the Dallas Mavericks beating the Los Angeles Clippers 123-93. A 30-point blowout. And somebody did just, I know somebody listening right now, Mark Raven, it says Mark Raven B said, Drake don't have a chance, LOL. Shout out to Mark. Mark got to be listening right now, the way you respond. Ain't nobody responding that early. Anywho, shout out to Mark. But Celtics win 118-84. They absolutely clobber the Miami Heat. Don't play around with them. And again, with no Jimmy, unless Boston absolutely collapsed, Miami never had a chance. Never had a chance. And, man, Miami shot 10%. 10% from three last night. They were 3 of 29 from three. They just don't have enough shot makers. Duncan Robinson went 0-2 from three. Highsmith went 0-2 from three. Thomas Bryant over 2 of 3. Former Hawk Patty Mills 0-2 from three. DeLon Wright, former Hawk, 0-2 from three. Tyler was 1 of 8 from three. Caleb Martin was 1 of 5 from three. Jovic was 0-3 from three. So, yeah, it was GG's for the Miami Heat. Jaylen Brown had 25-6 last night. 6 rebounds, that is. Derrick White, 25 points, 5 rebounds for Derrick White. Jrue Holiday had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Jason Tatum, he didn't even have to shoot that much. He only had 16 points. He did have 12 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 4-9 from the field, 2-4 from three. So, really, Jaylen Brown and Derrick White carried the load last night. And Hauser off the bench, Sam Hauser, had 17 points and 5 rebounds. Boston shot 54% from the field, 40% from three. And when they're going like that, you ain't going to beat them. Especially when Miami is not making shots and they already struggle offensively. yeah, it was lights out for Miami. Now, this Mavericks Clippers series, I do believe now Minnesota is going to be tough, but Minnesota does have to play the Nuggets. But I do believe the winner of this series is probably going to the Western Conference Finals. And they're going to probably see the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Because I would say that if the Timberwolves didn't have to play the Nuggets next round, I would say the Timberwolves had a good shot at making the Conference Finals. I just don't know, even with how well Anthony Edwards is playing right now, even with how well the Timberwolves overall are playing right now, I just don't see them beating the Nuggets. I just can't picture it in my head. Maybe they can. Right now, the way Ant's playing, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they gave the Nuggets a run for their money, because they are set up to play. If anybody's set up to play the Nuggets well, it's the Timberwolves, because I think they probably have the best matchup and the best counterpunch to Nikola Jokic in the league and Karl Anthony Towns, because Cat can guard Jokic on the perimeter. He's just as big, just as tall, pretty much, as Jokic. He can be just as physical. He can stretch the floor like Jokic. So Jokic isn't going to be able to just kind of be out there in the paint. Jokic is going to have to defend on the perimeter too, unless they kind of do some weird defensive change. You know what they'll probably do? They'll probably put Jokic on Gobert. And they'll probably put Aaron Gordon, I have to think, probably on Cat. That's probably the defensive matchup they'll go with. If I had to guess, that would probably be the best matchup and the best way to play the Timberwolves defensively if they're the Nuggets, now that I think about it. But even still, offensively, I think the Timberwolves can keep up with the Nuggets. I think depth-wise, they can keep up with the Nuggets. So I think this is honestly the best matchup for the Nuggets. So if anybody's going to upset the Nuggets, I think it could be the Timberwolves. But still, I just don't see it, because the Nuggets are playing really well right now too. Just beat a Lakers team that, and look, this was a Lakers team that, even though the Nuggets swept them, the Lakers were in just about every game. Jamal Murray had to hit two buzzer beaters to sweep the Lakers. So you have to keep that in mind as well. But getting back to this Clippers-Mavericks series, I do think this series is going to go seven. As far as who's going to win, to be honest, I don't know. The Mavericks did make a good statement last night, but I mean, we've seen the Clippers get a blowout win so far in this series too. Luka did his thing, 35 points, 14 of 26 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3. Kyrie, a little bit of a slower night for Kyrie, 14 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds for Kyrie. He was in a little bit of foul trouble as well. He was 6 of 14 from the field, only 1 of 7 from 3, so not a great shooting night from beyond the arc. Derrick Jones had 12 points as well. Daniel Gafford, 8 points. Maxi Kleber had a nice game. He was 5 of 7 from 3, gave him 15 points off the bench. Derek Lively, solid game off the bench too, 12 points, 7 rebounds. And even Josh Hardy, 14 points off the bench as well in that blowout. For the Clippers, 15 points apiece from Paul George and Zubac. James Harden only had 7, 2 of 12 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. Terrence Mann had 11. And then Bones Highland got in the game. Norman Powell, 14 points for him. Bones Highland had 11. So, yeah, all the benches got cleared out in this blowout. Russell Westbrook, he only had 6 points. He had a rough shooting night as well, too. 2 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 5 rebounds for Russ. So, again, I do think that series is going to go 7. I think the Clippers will bounce back. But a couple of good, really good games tonight. Teams there. So here's the scenario for tonight. Here's how I'm going to break it down. Pacers have another chance to close out the Bucks. Indy's up 3-2. Now, as far as Giannis and Dame, their status, Giannis and Dame and Chris Middleton and Patrick Beverley, all 4 are game time decisions. Now, I'm pretty sure Chris Middleton and Patrick Beverley are going to play. Dame and Giannis, though, no clue. Tyrese Halliburton, he's a game-time decision. He's probably going to play. But if there's no Giannis and there's no Dame, like there was last game, the Pacers cannot fold again. Because last game they folded. There was no Giannis, no Dame, and they kept the Bucks' hopes alive. They should have closed out. And again, this is where some experience comes into play, because an experienced team finishes that game, finishes them off. Like Boston finished off Miami last night. Pacers, you better finish off the Bucks tonight, because if you let it go to a game seven, if Giannis and Dame don't play tonight, there's probably a pretty strong chance at least Dame plays game seven, or at least one of them. I'll say at least one of them plays game seven. Indiana Pacers, do not let it get to a game seven. Don't do it. I'm telling you now. Close them out tonight if you got plans to make it to the second round. Knicks 76ers. 76ers are at home. They got themselves a chance to force a game seven. This could be close. And I do think, honestly, the 76ers are going to force a game seven. Bucks, Pacers, I don't know. I could see the Pacers at home winning in six, especially if Giannis and Dame don't play. If Giannis and Dame don't play with the Pacers at home, I have a better feeling the Pacers are going to take care of business and close things out. But 76ers at home, chance to force a game seven. Tyrese Maxey coming off a career playoff high 46. He's feeling it. Joel's going to do all he can to force a game seven. I got the 76ers forcing the game seven. I'm going to say the Pacers close it out tonight. I'm going to put some faith in the Pacers, but I don't know for sure. So we'll see. But should be two very good games tonight. Bucks and Pacers get started at 6:30. 76ers, Knicks get started at 9, both games on TNT. So cannot wait to watch those games. All right. I cannot also wait to talk to The Morning Shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. Ready to get you morning continued on a Thursday. And we'll see just exactly what they got up for this Thursday morning. We will chat it up with them, see what they got coming up for you. And we will wrap things up here on a Thursday edition of the Hometown Take. Right after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Feet lined up. Yeah. Get y'all mushed, smushed. Yeah, 21. The biggest. Put it in the chicken wing.
21, can you do something for me?
21.
Can you hit a little rich flex for me?
21.
And 21, can you do something for me?
21.
Drop some bars to my ex for me. And 21, can you do something for me?
Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game. I'll do something for you. I'll talk about these NBA playoffs. And I will do my thing, Drizzy. I need you to do your thing, too. Because Kendrick got a good lick in, I'm not going to lie. If y'all keeping up with the Drake and Kendrick beef, Kendrick did respond on a random Tuesday, this past Tuesday. And look, I'm not going to lie, as a big Drake fan, it was good. It was good. I can't lie. Now, look, I think some people have gone a little bit overboard in talking about how good it was. It was good. It's nothing Drake can't come back from, but he does have to come correct. I will say that.
Drake got punched in the neck, bro.
He got punched in the neck? Is that? Look, did Kendrick get, if this was a good boxing match, did Kendrick get a good lick in? He sure did. Did he maybe even get Drake, you know, stumbling and fumbling around a little bit? Yeah, he did. You may even go as far to say he may have knocked him down. But Drake can easily get back up. The fight is not over.
It's not over.
But he has to come correct. I will say that. And that is me being very objective and very as unbiased as I can be as a Drake fan. So
he's wobbling. He's wobbling.
Yeah, man.
He wobbled.
He got a shiner right now. Like his lip cut open. He got a shiner. He ain't looking good, but he can keep fighting though. He can keep fighting. But it was good. It was good. And the more and more I see about it, it's like, okay, yes, Kendrick came correct. He came correct. All right. That's enough, I'm sure, of all you want to. All these people out here, man, we don't care nothing about that beef, man. All right, shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers, early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well, the first responders, hospital workers, food, late night, early morning food industry workers, front and rear loading truck drivers, and all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, the NBA playoffs continue, and we had a game last night that resulted in the Boston Celtics moving on to the second round. And we also saw a team make a statement and give themselves a nice 3-2 lead. I won't say commanding, but a big 3-2 lead. And they made a statement in that game as well. I'm talking about the Dallas Mavericks beating the Los Angeles Clippers 123-93. A 30-point blowout. And somebody did just, I know somebody listening right now, Mark Raven. It says, Mark Raven B said, Drake don't have a chance. LOL. Shout out to Mark. Mark got to be listening right now, the way you respond. Ain't nobody responding that early. Anywho, shout out to Mark. But Celtics win 118-84. They absolutely clobber the Miami Heat. Don't play around with them. And again, with no Jimmy, unless Boston absolutely collapsed, Miami never had a chance. Never had a chance. And, man, Miami shot 10%. 10% from three last night. They were 3 of 29 from three. They just don't have enough shot makers. Duncan Robinson went 0-2 from three. Highsmith went 0-2 from three. Thomas Bryant over 2 of 3. Former Hawk Patty Mills 0-2 from three. DeLon Wright, former Hawk, 0-2 from three. Tyler was 1 of 8 from three. Caleb Martin was 1 of 5 from three. Jovic was 0-3 from three. So, yeah, it was GG's for the Miami Heat. Jaylen Brown had 25-6 last night. 6 rebounds, that is. Derrick White, 25 points, 5 rebounds for Derrick White. Drew Holiday had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Jason Tatum, he didn't even have to shoot that much. He only had 16 points. He did have 12 rebounds, 3 assists. He was 4-9 from the field, 2-4 from 3. So, really, Jaylen Brown and Derrick White carried the load last night. And Hauser off the bench, Sam Hauser, had 17 points and 5 rebounds. Boston shot 54% from the field, 40% from 3. And when they're going like that, you ain't going to beat them. Especially when Miami is not making shots and they already struggle offensively. Yeah, it was lights out for Miami. Now, this Mavericks Clippers series, I do believe. Now, Minnesota is going to be tough, but Minnesota does have to play the Nuggets. But I do believe The winner of this series is probably going to the Western Conference Finals. And they're going to probably see the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. Because I would say that if the Timberwolves didn't have to play the Nuggets next round, I would say the Timberwolves had a good shot at making the Conference Finals. I just don't know, even with how well Anthony Edwards is playing right now, even with how well the Timberwolves overall are playing right now, I just don't see them beating the Nuggets. I just can't picture it in my head. Maybe they can. Right now, the way Ant's playing, I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they gave the Nuggets a run for their money, because they are set up to play. If anybody's set up to play the Nuggets well, it's the Timberwolves, because I think they probably have the best matchup and the best counterpunch to Nikola Jokic in the league and Karl-Anthony Towns, because Cat can guard Jokic on the perimeter. He's just as big, just as tall, pretty much, as Jokic. He can be just as physical. He can stretch the floor like Jokic. So Jokic isn't going to be able to just kind of be out there in the paint. Jokic is going to have to defend on the perimeter too, unless they kind of do some weird defensive change. You know what they'll probably do? They'll probably put Jokic on Gobert. And they'll probably put Aaron Gordon, I have to think, probably on Cat. That's probably the defensive matchup they'll go with. If I had to guess, that would probably be the best matchup and the best way to play the Timberwolves defensively if they're the Nuggets, now that I think about it. But even still, offensively, I think the Timberwolves can keep up with the Nuggets. I think depth-wise, they can keep up with the Nuggets. So I think this is honestly the best matchup for the Nuggets. So if anybody's going to upset the Nuggets, I think it could be the Timberwolves. But still, I just don't see it, because the Nuggets are playing really well right now too. Just beat a Lakers team that, and look, this was a Lakers team that, even though the Nuggets swept them, the Lakers were in just about every game. Jamal Murray had to hit two buzzer beaters to sweep the Lakers. So you have to keep that in mind as well. But getting back to this Clippers-Mavericks series, I do think this series is going to go seven. As far as who's going to win, to be honest, I don't know. The Mavericks did make a good statement last night, but I mean, we've seen the Clippers get a blowout win so far in this series too. Luka did his thing, 35 points, 14 of 26 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3. Kyrie, a little bit of a slower night for Kyrie, 14 points, 6 assists, 4 rebounds for Kyrie. He was in a little bit of foul trouble as well. He was 6 of 14 from the field, only 1 of 7 from 3, so not a great shooting night from beyond the arc. Derrick Jones had 12 points as well. Daniel Gafford, 8 points. Maxi Kleber had a nice game. He was 5 of 7 from 3, gave him 15 points off the bench. Derek Lively, solid game off the bench too, 12 points, 7 rebounds. And even Josh Hardy, 14 points off the bench as well in that blowout. For the Clippers, 15 points apiece from Paul George and Zubac. James Harden only had 7, 2 of 12 from the field, 1 of 7 from 3. Terrence Mann had 11. And then Bones Highland got in the game. Norman Powell, 14 points for him. Bones Highland had 11. So, yeah, all the benches got cleared out in this blowout. Russell Westbrook, he only had 6 points. He had a rough shooting night as well, too. 2 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 5 rebounds for Russ. So, again, I do think that series is going to go 7. I think the Clippers will bounce back. But a couple of good, really good games tonight. Teams there. So here's the scenario for tonight. Here's how I'm going to break it down. Pacers have another chance to close out the Bucks. Indy's up 3-2. Now, as far as Giannis and Dame, their status, Giannis and Dame and Chris Middleton and Patrick Beverley, all 4 are game time decisions. Now, I'm pretty sure Chris Middleton and Patrick Beverley are going to play. Dame and Giannis, though, no clue. Tyrese Halliburton, he's a game-time decision. He's probably going to play. But if there's no Giannis and there's no Dame, like there was last game, the Pacers cannot fold again. Because last game they folded. There was no Giannis, no Dame, and they kept the Bucks' hopes alive. They should have closed out. And again, this is where some experience comes into play, because an experienced team finishes that game, finishes them off. Like Boston finished off Miami last night. Pacers, you better finish off the Bucks tonight, because if you let it go to a game 7, if Giannis and Dame don't play tonight, there's probably a pretty strong chance at least Dame plays game seven, or at least one of them. I'll say at least one of them plays game seven. Indiana Pacers, do not let it get to a game seven. Don't do it. I'm telling you now. Close them out tonight if you got plans to make it to the second round. Knicks 76ers. 76ers are at home. They got themselves a chance to force a game seven. This could be close. And I do think, honestly, the 76ers are going to force a game seven. Bucks, Pacers, I don't know. I could see the Pacers at home winning in six, especially if Giannis and Dame don't play. If Giannis and Dame don't play with the Pacers at home, I have a better feeling the Pacers are going to take care of business and close things out. But 76ers at home, chance to force a game seven. Tyrese Maxey coming off a career playoff high 46. He's feeling it. Joel's going to do all he can to force a game seven. I got the 76ers forcing the game seven. I'm going to say the Pacers close it out tonight. I'm going to put some faith in the Pacers, but I don't know for sure. So we'll see. But should be two very good games tonight. Bucks and Pacers get started at 6:30. 76ers, Knicks get started at 9, both games on TNT. So cannot wait to watch those games. All right. I cannot also wait to talk to The Morning Shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson. Ready to get you morning continued on a Thursday. And we'll see just exactly what they got up for this Thursday morning. We will chat it up with them, see what they got coming up for you. And we will wrap things up here on a Thursday edition of the Hometown Take right after this on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.